I'm at Margaret Tisha's home. Margaret is a Marist missionary sister, SMSM. And we got together to swap a few stories, particularly to listen to Margaret on her time in Bougainville Island at Asatavi and later in Solomon Island. So thank you for having me here, Margaret.
You are more than welcome, Lauren. Laurie.
What say we begin by just asking you, how was it that you decided, no doubt with others, that you wanted to work in the islands?
When I was 6 years old, just before my seventh birthday, coming back from receiving Jesus for the first time, I said, when I grow up, I'm going to be a sister. At 14 years of age, and I wasn't a person who remembered dreams, I had a vivid dream of a sister dressed in a white habit and veil, looking out over the ocean in what I thought was a palm grove. When I actually went to Bougainville, where I stayed for 14 years after having this dream at 14 years of age, I saw the exact spot of the dream, but it wasn't a palm grove, it was a coconut plantation.
Wow.
And so we had no say where we were going. I was just chosen by the leaders of the congregation to go to Bougainville. And so after training, I went there and I just fell in love with Bougainville, the Bougainville people, especially the Bougainville women and the girls at Asatavi.
How old were you when you first went up there?
I was 31, and when I finished, I was 45. So I call those 14 years the best years of my life, when I was very active. And by 45, we are slowing down a wee bit.
How true is that? Good. Okay, so some of your memories about how you arrived, how you travelled, first impressions of the place.
Well, we went by plane. There were four of us, and we had our top leaders in Australia there at the airport with us, and they were asked if they would mind if they put the sisters up to first class because they had too many for the economy. So we travelled in style. When the doors opened at Port Moresby, I thought an oven door had been opened on me. It was so, so hot.
Yes, that's right.
But in Bougainville, we were very close to the ocean, and at night we got the sea breezes from the ocean, but also from the mountains. So we could sleep well at night, but during the day, I can tell you it was hot, hot, hot.
Oh, yes. Was Europa Airport open at that time?
Yes.
That's where you flew in?
No. Now, wait a minute. No, we flew in, flew into Kiata there, that's right. And then we waited a couple of days and we went by mission ship to Asatavi. I was one of the worst sailors that there could ever be.
Yes, it's not all that far, though, is it? How long is it? About 6 hours?
Yeah, about 6 hours, depending which mission ship you're on. It could be 7 hours, yes. Okay. And the sea, if it was rough.
Right,
yes.
So it's about, it's North Asatavi, of course, being north of Kiata.
Mm. Right. That's right.
So what was it like when you arrived? What happened when you got there?
Well, when we got there, school had started, and Sister Mary Maureen, whose name is Margaret Cole, and she has since died, but she was the principal, and she said, you can have the first week to unpack and get your lessons sorted out and all that sort of thing. So after about 3 or 4 days, the girls were coming out, Sister, are you coming to teach us? And I said, look, I will. I'll start on Monday, but I really want to get myself sorted out first, look at the syllabus and everything like that. And so when I come in on Monday, I'll be ready to go. And so I was very grateful that I had that week to get sorted out with everything.
Great. So the school was well running. It had been running for quite a while when you arrived.
For how many years, you mean?
Oh,
no,
roughly.
No, yeah. Yes, probably about, 1956 it opened, you can use your maths, and I went there at the beginning of 69.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Great. So you're on the staff there. How many sisters were on the community working in the school there with you?
Well, we had 40 sisters in Bougainville, 40 sisters in Solomon Islands, and one quarter of the SMSMs were at Asatavi. We were 10.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Good. And your first impressions of the teaching of the girls there? How big was the school and what were you teaching?
I was teaching English and geography, and I think that might have been all that I was teaching. We were only up to third form the first year I went there. The next year we went on to form four. And what was the rest of your question?
Oh, I was just saying, you know, your first impressions of the school and the girls.
Well, in my training I was taught, be very strict to start off with. Ease down. Remember, you're not a student, you are the teacher. So the children went to classes in the morning, they had their lunch, then they went out to the gardens. And the bell went to bring them in from the gardens, and at 3:15 in each classroom, we would say the five decades of the rosary. So I walked into this classroom, which was half full, I think there were about 16 students in it, and they, during the rosary, they all came in. So at the end of the rosary, I said to them, my first day of school, I said, I'm not used to students being late for my class, so if you want to come to geography tomorrow, you'd be on time. I went ahead with my lesson. Sister Joan came in to take them for English, and I went over to the Form 2s for English, and they said, well, why didn't she stay in Australia? When I got there the next day, every student was sitting up in class at 3:15, but I heard they nearly killed the bell ringer. They said, you ring that bell loudly. We didn't hear it yesterday, and that new sister from Australia is very cross. But we became very good friends after that.
Yes, clearly. You're still in communication with some of those women after all these years. Yeah. Okay, so you stayed there many, many years, and we won't go through year by year, but you might like to reflect on some of the highlights. Like, eventually you became principal there, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I was there for about 2.5 years, and Margaret Cole decided that she wanted to return to Australia. So I was the junior member of the staff, and none of them would accept to be principal. So I was young and foolish, so they asked me, and I said, well, wait, if the others won't, I will. Mm. And so when Mary Ma, who just died 3 days ago at 98, came up as provincial, she said to me, so you're going to be the next principal. I said, well, no one else will put their hand up for it. And she said, well, Margaret Cole said, if you're principal, you've got to be leader of the community. I said, no way. I said, share the responsibility. So I looked after the school, and Sister Mary Martin de Porres, who is now back in her original name of Teresa Stuchinska, she came from Poland. She's 92 now. She was my deputy, and she was the leader of the community. Wonderful person. She was absolutely great, and we're still very, very good friends.
Great. Okay. So just to locate the date of our chat, it's the 6th of June 2021. So that just gives the date of Mary's
passing. Marceline Champagne's feast day today. It's a good day to be doing this on.
It is indeed. That's right. Yeah, well done. All right. Any particular highlights, like what some of your strongest memories about maybe some special events or I know that Asatavi is, as you've said, you know, among the best years of your life. Why was that? What were some of the wonderful things that happened for you?
I think it was the girls. They were just tremendous young women, and they really wanted to study. They were just incredible. They worked so hard in the garden, digging out trees as big as mansions. I'm talking about the roots of the trees. They worked and worked and worked, and they studied and studied and studied. They couldn't have been better students. I just take my hat off to them. Mm-hmm. And as the years have gone on, the students aren't that interested. I went back for the Diamond Jubilee, the school, a few years ago, and they don't want to work in the garden. Some of them just go over and get on the plane and go home and don't come back to the school. It's just completely different atmosphere there. So that it was the students who I just admire and still admire so much. I'm still in touch with many, many, many of my ex-students.
Yes, it's wonderful connections that you made back then and still continue. We, of course, operated a college not so far away, the school down at Kieta, St. Joseph's Rigu. Was there much connection between Asatavi and Rigu in those days?
Yes. One of the things they put on, and Brother Julian was there as the choir master, and the Rigu boys were just marvellous with their singing. At least once, if not more, we beat Rigu, and that was most unusual. And I think they probably gave it to us so that Rigu didn't get it every year. So yeah, we'd have that connection because the girls would be down there for the weekend. But we also invited the senior boys up, and the girls would clear out of a dormitory and give it to the boys. And they'd come up on Friday, and they'd stay Friday and Saturday night. And then on Sunday this particular year, we went out to go to a swimming place, and the girls and the boys were having a wonderful time swimming after we'd had the picnic. And then all of a sudden, the must have been raining up in the mountains, and big trees, big trees and rubbish and everything came down between us, and few of the boys and girls were on the other side of the river. Some of them dived in and got over. And then when swirling past and that and things eased down, I just called out to the boys, go back around the other way and come home with the girls. So they didn't get home for another couple of hours. But we knew that the girls were in being well looked after because the boys were with them. So that was a great day. Yes.
No, that's a good story. Yes, yes. I'm sure Brother Julian will enjoy listening to this conversation.
Oh, he was marvellous. Absolutely wonderful. Yes.
Good. Okay. So, all right. Well, we might wind up on Asatavi there. Is there anything further that you'd like to say about Asatavi before we move on to Solomon's?
Well, we did have the Silver Jubilee there, and at a staff meeting, one of the staff said, how about we put out a book? I said, you're very welcome to put out a book on the school, you know, for the Silver Jubilee, as long as you're prepared to get a team and do it. And they did, about five of the sisters, including Sister Mary Andrew, who was a CSN sister. We called her Andy. And I'll just say this little bit about Andy. She died many years ago. Wonderful, wonderful woman. But in Form 4, I explained to them that A was a distinction and B, etc., down. So she wrote to me from college and she said, Sister, I thought I did well in English. I'm so sorry I got a D. And I wrote back and I said, that was a distinction, Andy. And then she went to one of her professors at college and she said, why did you give me 0? And he said to her, outstanding. So she was a wonderful, wonderful CSN sister.
Wonderful, yes. Now, the CSNs, I think, were actually, is this correct, founded by the SMSNs?
Well, our sisters, one of them, she became the first Superior General, and we had the novice mistress. But I'm not sure how long it was before they passed over being letting them have their own Superior General and their own novice mistress, etc. And we moved out, but the sisters were still around to help them if they needed it. But they stood on their own 2 feet and did a wonderful job.
And continue to do so.
And continue to get very good vocations for the CSN sisters.
They are wonderful women. And
they are.
During the Bougainville crisis, many of them were supported many of the Bougainvillean women to stand up against the fighting. Right.
Sister Regina, who we all called Queenie, she would go out there and she would tell those soldiers off. She said, you're not going to have anything to do with your wives. And she told the wives to have nothing to do with them until they stopped the fighting. And those men respected Sister Regina, but we all called her Queenie. Wonderful, wonderful woman. There are so many of those CSNs who are incredible Bougainvillians.
Wonderful. All right, well, we might leave Asatavi there. Thank you very much for that part of the story, and we'll head off. Oh, by the way, is that the 25th anniversary booklet.
That is, yes.
Yeah, that's great. I'm going to put a couple of images on that on the website beside your interview. So thank you so much for that. That's great, Margaret. Margaret, can you tell us something about the gardens at Asatavi, please?
We were very lucky at Asatavi. We had plenty of land, unlike Rigu, who did not. They had a wonderful school, but they had to have their food grown at Marbiri and brought down on the mission boats. But our girls went out every day except Sunday to plant and dig the food, and they had plenty of food and a lot of variety too because of rice and all the things we used to get from Arawa from the supermarket. But with the agriculture, we had one horse, we had quite a few cattle, we had many, many pigs, we had chickens, we had ducks, and Sylvia, Marist missionary sister, she came down from being novice mistress to the CSN, and she was at the school for many, many years, and she was a hard worker. She even brought in a river to make a lake for the ducks, and I had every confidence in her that the school would be safe, and it was safe. And the children were able to have, you know, pork, and they were able to have beef from the cattle, and I'd get chickens up for them from the supermarket, from the warehouse. But people were just astounded at the fencing that Sylvia had there so the pigs could not get near the gardens. And she was just a tremendous woman. She's still alive in her 90s now in America. So she did a lot for Asatavi.
Who did the slaughtering for you?
The girls and Sylvia.
Wow.
Yes, I didn't go near it. They were marvellous. And the cows, Sylvia used to call them after the girls. And Anna Lassie, who comes up twice a year from Canberra with her husband John and looks after my gardens here. She was just up for my Diamond Jubilee a week ago, and she did some gardening while she was here too. One of the cows was called Lassie after Anna.
Wonderful. Oh, thank you so much for that. That's a great addition. Any other things that you remember that are essential to keep for the history of Asatavi?
When I needed a break, I'd say to them, I'm going out to slash the field. Only get me if something's absolutely urgent. So I'd be out there for a couple of years with my helmet on, and we had a huge playing field, and I'd sit out there, and oh, it was just so good for my soul.
Good. A couple of years.
A couple of hours.
A couple of hours.
I didn't even notice a mistake. Thank God Laurie did.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Thanks so much.